This is Anna Samuels. I'm here with Jess Puglisi. It is June 19th, 2014. We are recording in Hudson for the Hudson Area Archive and Oral History Summer School. Would you like to introduce yourself, Jess?
Sure. I'm Jess Puglisi. I live in Hudson. I work in Hudson. I've lived here since around 2005 or 6.
Okay, do you want to tell me a little bit about where you come from?
Yeah, I grew up in Connecticut on the shoreline. I was born in New Haven, which is well known, but I grew up in a town 20 minutes, like a suburb, about 20 minutes east of that called Clinton, and it's a shoreline town, very cozy, very nice. When I was 19, I moved away from there, upstate, and originally started my movement to Hudson. I moved to Germantown and lived with a couple of people there for a little while, and bounced around between Germantown, Milan, Tivoli, sort of like northern Dutchess, southern Columbia County, and then a series of circumstances, I moved to Hudson and, you know, gradually came in from the... I lived in an apartment in Fairview Avenue because I was working at the West Iconic Diner at the time and didn't ever come into what is known as Hudson proper and what people talk about and write about when they talk about Hudson at this point, largely because I wasn't interested in it because it seemed old and conservative and dilapidated to me. And so I lived there for a couple of years without doing that, and then, you know, continued to work at the diner, started taking classes at the community college nearby, and then a friend of mine told me that the Spotty Dog in Hudson was hiring and that it served beer and also sold books, and these are two things I enjoy. And so I applied for a job there and got it and slowly moved into the Hudson sphere of Hudson proper, I guess. And since then, I've been in and out of there, but living definitely within a couple of blocks of Warren Street and, you know, very interested in all the different parts of the town and city. But, yeah. And, I really enjoy the Hudson Valley. I would never go back to Connecticut to live, but I would, you know, be interested to live somewhere further afield at some point, but I can't seem to want to really pursue that because I like it here so much, even though it's complicated, but it's nice to be in a city and have so much access to, you know, really rural and, you know, just wild places. That's one of the reasons I really like it, but also to have a really complex, busy little town full of human drama. I guess that's how I got here.
You mentioned it's complicated. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the city itself is very polarized because there are a lot of people here who, you know, who have grown up here, who have deep roots here, who are, you know, they range from being, you know, very, you know, they just have very little in the way of resources, you know, money, employment, like connections, and then certainly, you know, other people who, you know, have deep roots here have plenty of those, but, you know, they're, despite, you know, across the board socioeconomically, it seems like there's this conflict between people who have lived here for a long time versus, you know, people who are coming here who see Hudson as a canvas upon which to project their own ideas of what a city can be. And, you know, while I'm reluctant to characterize it as, like, you know, locals versus transplants, you know, and I don't think either side is particularly right or wrong about any, you know, series of issues. That's kind of what happens when a city changes dramatically, you know, and I think a lot of the change is excellent. You know, there's a lot of economic opportunity if you're the right kind of person, if you have the right kind of connections and education and ideas. But I think it's very frustrating for a lot of people in the city and this the larger community who maybe are watching their city, you know, be completely radically reinvented before their very eyes, like literally blocks, the same block that they've lived on for a long time, transforming into something that's completely untouchable and inaccessible to them. And sort of an interesting thing in my life is knowing that I'm definitely a part of that, and, you know, but also not feeling, you know, I frankly, I don't have a lot of money, nor do I have, you know, deep connections in this area, nor do I have, like, you know, pre-existing connections to some of the influences that have really changed the city. Like, you know, a lot of people come here through connections that they've established outside of Hudson, and then that allows them to succeed to some extent in this new version of the city, you know, and so, it's, you know, there's a lot of really nuanced, you know, changes that happen, and watching them is fascinating. Like, I love it, you know. I wish it could be more equitable for, you know, people, and, it didn't feel like people were trying to, you know, guide the city in a way that is so, you know, catered to, you know, their own comfort and needs, and, like, really kind of took, like, a real inventory of what is around them and, like, how they can really, like, support people rather than just steamrolling them, pushing them out, and doing the same old work of gentrification, basically. But, you know, that's it in a nutshell, I guess. And, I mean, that's, like, my, again, as someone who's, you know, an outsider but very, like, obsessive about, like, watching all these things, that's as much as I can say about it. I mean, I'm sure if you ask somebody who actually lived here for their whole lives or generations, they'd feel very differently, you know, or would maybe even resent what I'm saying. And same thing if you ask somebody on Warren Street who's only been here for a couple of years and just opened a store. And, you know, they might be offended, frankly, but I don't know. Yeah, but, you know, that's kind of the story of anywhere. That's going, you know, that's on an economic upturn because of, like, an arts scene or whatever you want to call it, you know, that sort of, like, high-end culture, you know. Not to be cynical. Certainly benefited from it. But, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about being an outsider here?
In Hudson? Yeah, I can. I think it's funny that I would call it, because I feel, I mean, I am an outsider, and, you know, I would see myself as an outsider, but I think if I was to talk to other people, like, you know, people come to me looking for, like, jobs or real estate, or not real estate, but apartments and things like that. And so, you know, basically, you know, I've had a number of jobs for long periods of time that make me feel, or make me appear to be someone who's, you know, kind of, like, in this sort of hub. You know, namely, like I mentioned, the Spotty Dog. I worked there for probably about 5 years, and that place has turned from, like, you know, just like a weird little business that someone opened, to one of the hubs, I'd say, of the city, in terms of where people go to drink and eat and talk and see music and kind of just decompress. And so, you know, being visible there, I made, like, probably most of my friends, you know, who still live here, who haven't moved away, and know a lot of business owners and just other people, and, you know. But on the same token, it's, you know, as someone who came here, you know, like I said, I moved from Connecticut when I was, like, 19, and that wasn't with a family member or anything like that, and I had really no connection to this area, except for the fact that I met some people who went to Bard, and I thought it would be interesting to live with them. And so I made that decision within, like, about 3 months. And by the time I moved to Hudson, most of them had moved far away. So I, you know, it was kind of this rotating cast of, you know, like, I think that's a thing that goes in your early 20s. But I ended up, you know, being here. But I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, constantly changing cast of people who filter in and out of Hudson, particularly people like under 40, I'd say, you know, like unmarried people under 40 are like in and out. And there's certainly in the last couple of years been more of a settling of people, but, you know, at least from the time I've been here, like everybody, you know, we used to joke, like, you know, it's like season six and like, you know, the whole new cast is like come to Warren Street and, you know, who's gonna, but, you know, and so having no real, like, long-term knowledge of these people and, you know, basically picking an apartment because it was the cheapest thing I could find in, like, a 10-mile radius and not really understanding the history of the place when I came here and just, like, learning it all, like, as, like, more of a reader than, you know, like, a, you know, someone who was being invited in and not really understanding the power structures or who, you know, what certain families meant. And, you know, kind of, I've come into an understanding of that now, so I feel like I'm kind of, like, in a privileged position where, you know, if I see something that's happening, like, in town, I can actually decode it, but, you know, and so, I don't know, maybe calling myself an outsider is not even is a misnomer at this point, but, you know, I certainly had felt like that when I got here, and, you know, certainly there are plenty of places where, you know, like, plenty of, like, power structures and communities in the city where, you know, I have no place, you know, and I know that, but I think maybe less so than certain other people, you know, I don't know, it's kind of a, that's not really an answer, but,
You described yourself as a reader of the city. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm a reader, like, in general, and I'm very, always have been, and, you know, of books, but, you know, the city is, there's plenty of documentation, you know, it's like a very interesting way or place. I mean, I think one of the reasons I like living here so much is it's so human-sized. Like, the scale of the city is just, you know, you can walk up and down it in, like, you know, an hour and, like, have zigzagged through it. And so as you start to learn who people are and, like, about certain neighborhoods and, like, you know, ride your bike or, like, walk around town and, like, see people on the streets and, like, start to kind of not only know your route, but, like, know their routes and, like, you know, who's getting coffee at what time and, you know, starting to, like, make connections by reading the newspaper and placing them into, like, oh, I saw them in that photograph, that's their name, and I know that name from, like, you know, either the cemetery or the street sign or whatever. You know, you can really kind of, like, the city almost feels like, you know, you're, like, on the set of, like, a high school play. It's like Oklahoma or something, because everything is so, like, finite and, you know, just there's a very human-sized cast, and it's not, you know, I think I'm personally intimidated by very large cities because I'm not interested in that level of anonymity. Like, if I want to get away from it, I don't want to, like, I just want to, like, go and be in the, you know, the woods or something like that. So, I mean, like, Hudson as a text, you know, there's, like, plenty of layers of, like, politics and people around that you can, like, explore very easily, you know, just by, like, watching and listening and, like, you know, just going to places, like, you know, there's only a few bars, there are only, like, you know, there are, like, there's a few parks and just making the rounds and seeing where people, like, place themselves and, I don't know, I mean, I feel like I understand this place, like, probably, you know, even better than the town I grew up in, which, you know, has to do with being an adult here, whereas, you know, not a child, but I mean, you know, when I go back there, it's like, it doesn't make any sense to me, you know, in any, like, sophisticated way, you know, I don't know where the power structures are, who's doing what, or, you know, where anybody does anything at all, you know, and that's the other thing, Hudson feels like people live in public a fair deal, and, you know, Maybe because it's a small city and it's easy to just see people. But, and you know, like, all the living quarters are so, like, condensed. And maybe that's the same way it is for, like, neighborhoods in larger cities. But it just, it feels like you can, yeah, you can learn a lot just by the act of walking around. And in depth, too. I don't know. It's all very vague. Like, but, yeah.
So when you do go home, what does that feel like?
I don't go home that often. I mean, I mean it's interesting to go there. I, you know, something I realized, you know, I guess I was home for Christmas, not this year, but the year before, and I was with my sister. I have three younger sisters, and the one I'm closest to lives in Massachusetts, in Lee. So she lives, it's like about an hour from here, so I generally see her pretty often, and, you know, we're constantly communicating because of the miracle of, you know, cell phones. But, you know, we were home, and I forget, like, how it came. Basically, she was like, hey, do you want to go outside in the backyard and smoke pot? And I was like, you know, this had never, like, as a teenager, I never would have done anything like that. And, you know, we were, like, both, like, horrendously bored. And, you know, I was like, okay. And it was, like, you know, this, like, very weird moment where I was like, I'm having, you know, like, basically an illicit adult experience in my hometown. And I realized I had never done that before, and, like, in, you know, or, like, specifically, like, smoked pot or, like, done any drugs, like, within, like, a 50-mile radius of, like, you know, where I grew up. And so, you know, we were walking around our backyard, and, like, because there's, like, a lot of woods and a swamp, and so we're, like, you know, in all these, like, very weird spaces that we'd inhabited when we were kids, so, you know, we're really, like, very important to us, you know. It's like this very, like, it seemed humongous, like this great swamp, but, you know, it was probably the size of this room, like, you know, when we went there. And then walking around the house and, like, seeing where the house was breaking, and just, like, had this whole, like, thing. But that, I mean, I think it's, like, a good metaphor for when I go home to Connecticut. It's just, like, feeling, like, you know, applying this, like, adult awareness of, like, how things work onto this town that I never really gave the chance to know. And because I rarely go home anyway, and I don't keep in contact with all, like, all the friends I keep in contact with are, like, long gone from there, it's always, like, a total shock to my system, you know, just to try to understand, you know, that place. And then, you know, it's a very nice town. I have nothing against it. It's, like, very wooded, and, like, we go right up to the beach, so we're right on the Long Island Sound. And it was just, like, unbelievably boring as a kid. Like, if, like, the internet hadn't come into existence when I was a teenager, I think I would have gone crazy, because, like, I was so, like, understimulated, you know, and I wanted to learn, you know, there was, like, no access to, like, any, like, music or books that I became very interested in, and, like, sort of, like, charted the course of my life afterwards. And so when I go home, that's the thing, I just feel very, like, uninspired, but, like, kind of, like, happy to be there, just because, you know, like, the normal reason somebody enjoys going home. But, you know, it is kind of, I'm always feeling like there's nothing, I don't know, it's just, like, you know, like, that I've never given it a chance to, like, look at it, you know, as an adult, maybe, I don't know. So, yeah, and I feel like a lot of other people have, you know, like, and, you know, maybe it's my loss. It's just, like, kind of a weird relationship I have with it. I mean, I forget what it was. Oh yeah, they built, like my high school. But when I came home last time, there was, like, this kind of, like, chunk of forest / swamp that, like, wetland that had been, like, entirely filled in, like, directly adjacent to my high school to make, like, a pet store and, like, a ice cream shop and everything. But it was just, like, amazing to me that that space was, like, you know, totally cleared, filled in, like, built up on, and, like, these buildings had already started to get, like, stained, you know, from, like, use in the time that I hadn't been there. Again, it felt like a pretty, I don't know, it was good. It's interesting. But, yeah. a good town.
You mentioned books and music charted your life.
In some, well, yeah, I think I had this, like, very romantic idea. Yeah, like, I mean, when I was in high school, I mean, I've, like I said, I've just always been a reader. I've always been, like, a very, like, you know, reading and writing, you know, were basically the only things I would do. I mean, and going outside so that I could read and write in, like, total solitude. But, I mean, you know, in high school, I became very interested. You know, I read voraciously, but it was, like, you know, in a very teenaged way, like, became obsessed with, like, Camus and, like, all this existentialist stuff that I was able to find out about, you know, again, like, on the internet. And so I was, like, reading all these books and getting, like, very, like, you know, wrapped up in, like, you know, sort of, like, yeah, like, existentialist thought and, like, you know, trying to be, guide my, you know, life by these principles of, like, you know, everything being very ephemeral and me having to do everything immediately and, you know, not surrendering my spirit, you know, like, which is very teenage and that, and, like, you know, of course, like, Kerouac and things like that. And then also was getting very interested in, like, you know, what turns out to be, like, just kind of, like, ordinary music, but, you know, different music than anything I was, you know, exposed to. And again, this was just because I was, like, a nerdy kid who had access to the internet maybe a couple of years earlier than everybody else, and so was able to, like, learn about all these, like, bands that, you know, nobody else did. And so, you know, as soon as I, you know, left home, it was all, like, you know, I was, like, gonna stick to these romantic ideals, like, you know, and that was a thing. I ended up dropping out of college after one semester because I was so disillusioned, which sounds, again, so decadent and teenage. So, like, but I was, like, you know, I was an excellent student, but my family was getting, like, my parents were getting divorced, and it was, like, this horrendous thing. And so, like, one of the sort of casualties of that was my college application process, and nobody in my immediate family until my sister ever really had gone to, you know, college or, like, done 4-year schools. Everybody was, like, you know, my father works for the union, or he did, he's retired now. My mother was, like, a stay-at-home mom, and they're all, like, second generation, and, like, nobody's, like, pursued higher education until it became kind of, like, a mandate with, like, my generation. And so, I mean, according to everybody, you know, any administrator in my high school, like, I was, like, a very excellent student who, of course, would go and do this, and, like, you know, like, 100% of the kids went to 4-year, you know, institutions because it was an affluent, like, high school. But, you know, I was, like, sad and, like, got admitted to, like, a satellite campus of UConn because I had to apply, like, after we'd all graduated when somebody realized I wasn't going to college. And I went there, and I just remember being, like, utterly, like, ruined. I was, like, I can't do this. Like, it was so depressing. And, you know, I, like, did one semester and then dropped out. And then, you know, I was, like, all right, well, I'm taking, like, basically whatever books and, like, everything else and moving upstate. And so I did that. And I don't know. I mean, it's just, like, you know, I was very much, like, modeling my life after, like, these ideas that I had garnered in this vacuum, this intellectual vacuum kind of my own creation, and, like, came up here. It was, like, initially, like, you know, kind of courted and, like, in a relationship with this person who was, like, at this point in my life, I'm just, like, oh, my God. But, you know, it was, like, an aspiring novelist who, you know, and, you know, he's, like, edit my book and, like, things like that. And, you know, I was very excited about that at the time, but I didn't do a good job editing it. But, yeah, I don't know. And then, you know, I ended up trying to, you know, I think I spent the first couple of years up here thinking I was going to write, like, an incredible memoir of being, like, this, like, radical, like, person who had done something so unbelievable, which was to just, like, leave and get into this, like, really bizarre relationship and, you know, live in, like, some weird little town. And, like, I thought that I had this, like, incredible eye for, like, understanding all, and, of course, it's, like, you know, stuff you write when you're 19 and then you're embarrassed by later. But, like, you know, I did that and then ended up, you know, deciding that the thing to do, that's actually how I ended up working at the diner, was to go and just keep, you know, doing this kind of work and, you know, doing less and less important work and, like, really having this, like a very romantic idea that, you know, you go work in a diner and then stay up all night drinking and, like, writing, like, basically. And it was very productive, but now I have a bunch of, like, unedited, like, crazy stuff that I wrote and, like, you know, in the sort of, like, fake, like, beat style that, like, I mean, I'm glad it exists because it's entertaining, but it's definitely, like, you know, okay, like, maybe you gotta go to the next stage. But, yeah. And then I guess the music thing, this was another very romanticized idea that actually evolved into, like, a real part of my life where, you know, just became obsessed with, like, music and then, you know, became more and more interested in, like, really obscure stuff and, like, the more experimental and weird, the better for a while, which was weird because, you know, so much of it was, like, sort of impenetrable. And then ended up, you know, again, like, having a relationship that was sort of based on the worship of somebody who was, like, a great practitioner of, like, music, you know. And we were together for, like, years, which was very good, but, and very bad, but, like, the net gain from that was that, like, this, like, being with him, like, it turned, like, my, like, fledgling interest in, like, music and stuff. I started, like, you know, having a lot of musicians come through town, partially because he was friends with people and other stuff, and so ended up setting up what is now, like, a pretty, like, functional venue over at the Spotty Dog, and that was, like, you know, kind of, like, happy, because I think in some ways, like, having that space for people to come and play music has opened up, you know, or at least helped to pave the way for some of the other music stuff that has come after it that's kind of, like, superseded it, but it's, like, you know, it's got its own little, like, space, and, yeah, no, I mean, like, people still want to play music there, so that's kind of thrilling, you know, in its own way, but, yeah. Sorry, I'm a little thirsty. No, don't worry. It's fine. I can keep talking.
We can yeah. Pause it if you want.
No, okay. I'll be fine. Yeah, but I'm realizing my voice is diminishing. Yeah.
Can you talk about your experience at the Spotty Dog?
Sure. Like anything in particular? Or?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I started working there. I guess I'll just talk about, yeah, like, I started working there, like I said, I was working at this diner, which was great, and I mean, like, that's the thing, at this point in time, like, the diner is, like, my sort of, like, ideal of the job, of, like, all work, because it was so, I mean, I think in this, like, really weird way, I, like, took that job to kind of, like, just, like, tamp down my expectations for life in a way that was actually, like, really, like, humbling, and, but not in a negative way. It just turned me into, like, someone who was, like, you know, appreciated, first of all, like, everybody's work around me, like, you know, and grateful for the fact that, like, people do work well, even if it's something like working in it. And that was the thing for me. I'm like, well, if I become, like, a really, really, really good diner waitress, like, it's basically being, like, extremely talented at something that's more or less invisible. But it's also, like, very fulfilling because you can be, like, an incredibly good diner waitress and have all of your personal mental space, like there's, like, nothing taken out of you if you, like, learn to do it well, which was, like, for a great while, my interpretation of what work was, like, a sort of a contract that you're making to, like, give over some terrible part of your life or, like, some wonderful part of your life to something terrible that you were at odds with. And, you know, fortunately, I've gotten better at getting jobs that are actually mentally fulfilling. But, you know, at that time, that's what the diner was. It was like, you know, I didn't have to worry or be agonized by anything. I just had to go in and, like, do this. And, like, then I had, like, unbelievable free time on all sides of it, except for this, like, one little sliver during the day where I had to be there and, like, run around like a maniac with, like, mashed potatoes. But, so, like I said, the Spotty Dog, I started working there because somebody suggested to me that, you know, this new place had opened and he was able to, like, drink a beer and read a book in the middle of the afternoon at the same time. And, like, I agreed. That sounded really nice. And actually, I did a kind of a shitty thing. My friend, she was the person who told me about it the second time and said that she was applying. So that night, while we were hanging out, I made, like, a resume, and then they didn't hire her, and they hired me instead, and she was very mad at me for, like, apparently a long time that I didn't even know about. But because of that, like, as if that had somehow derailed something for her. But, yeah, so I started working there, but at that point in time, the business was probably, like, 6 months old or so. And, you know, it was, like, everything else on Warren Street was still very oriented towards, like, antiques and galleries. Like, you know, the city, I mean, obviously, if you walk down the street, it's still present, but at that point in time, it was, like, to the exclusion of anything else. Like, you couldn't find, you know, that was a bookstore, that was pretty revolutionary, you know, but you couldn't find, like, you know, their clothing stores and, like, you know, sort of, like, boutiques like that now, and, you know, things that are oriented, you know, like, there are multiple coffee shops. There used to be one, and it was not good. You know, the food options were a lot, you know, slimmer at that time. And they're just, you know, they're, you know, all the, like, sort of, I'm trying to think of other institutions that didn't even exist. But basically, it was, like, this one weird little business that had this, you know, slightly more, like, say, populist, like, vibe than the rest of them, because, you know, the antique stores were so high-end. It was, you know, seen as a place where a designer would come and, like, outfit, like, somebody else's apartment. It wasn't for, like, flea market hobbyists who, you know, there were a couple of those, but they're gone now, too. But at that point in time, I would work there. Like, I think their hours were, like 11 to, like, 8 or something, and then, like, on Friday nights, I'd be, like, sitting there all by myself, like, leaning, you know, on the counter. I have, like, you know, like, my boyfriend would come in, which was merciful of him, and then, like, maybe, like, one or two of his friends would come in, but basically I'd, like, lock the door at 8 o'clock and be home, make no tips or anything. And so, and the bookstore was brand new, like, in terms of its inventory. And what was great, the owners, you know, who I still have a working relationship with, and, you know, were, like, unbelievably generous and faithful, like, you know, with me over time, because they basically have gave me free rein to run their business when they eventually had kids and things like that. But I mean, like, you know, the books, I guess when you open a bookstore, there's, like, some sort of, like, base level, like, book package that, like, the distributor sells you, and then, like, you know, it's got, like, a bunch of, like, classics and things and, like, other, like, meaningful titles. But then you get, like, really weird, like, horrible stuff that's just, like, you know, it was, like, a bestseller somewhere weird, so I don't know. And, like, so it was, like, all these, like, odds and ends and everything else, and it really had no it wasn't curated yet. It was just, like, this kind of blank slate, which was not much different than, like, a Walden Books at the time. And so, you know, there was somebody else who worked there who moved out of town, like, a while ago, but he and I got hired on the same day, and he was, like, a maniac. He was just, like, the most erudite person, like, ever, and, like, very troubled, too, but he just knew, like, every book title and had this particular bend towards, like, you know, like, Rutledge, like, you know, like, just any, like, university press he could find. And so he and I just, like, kind of, like, sat there and, like, bounced off of each other in this way, and, like, managed to order, like, tons and tons of books together until he disappeared on a bender, and we never saw him again, basically. He was a really nice guy and, like, totally brilliant, but, like, I don't know. So, yeah, I, like, basically was given, like I said, like, unlimited freedom to order books and do whatever I wanted there. So I started, you know, not only ordering books, but, as I mentioned, this one boyfriend who I was living with at the time was a really, he still is a very good musician, and he, you know, basically would sit there and, like, play his guitar when he was bored, you know, because there was nobody to talk to except for me. And, like, you know, gradually, like, a couple of people would, you know, start coming in there frequently and, like, being like, hey, he's not bad, you know, and, you know, eventually, like, you know, it's kind of like a dust bowl, like, tumbleweed effect, you know. And he like friends of his wanted to play a show or something. And so I remember like sometime in like 2007, the Register Star was really like scraping for like content, I guess, because like we had like, I don't remember why this happened like this, but there were like 7 bands and probably all of them were like noise bands or like, you know, just like things that nobody wanted to hear. But I just remember it was like 7 bands in 2007, and it was like a $7 cover, and we thought it was like brilliant, like, you know, and it was like, but somehow the Register Star like covered this as it was like front page or like, you know, music in a bookstore, like this isn't a library, like, you know, it was like, and so there was this huge like splashy, and we're like, well, this is weird, and like, but it was like really funny, and you know, like probably like 4 people who weren't in the bands came. And like, you know, but it kept going like that, and like slowly we started like, I was like, you know, hey, like maybe if we bought a PA we could get like, you know, local bands to play here. And so like that element kind of came into the bookstore, and like, you know, at first it was like, oh yeah, we do like a show every month or something like that, and then I started feeling like obligated to keep it going in a certain way, because I was like, you know, first of all, people were asking if they could play there, and then secondly, like, you know, there really wasn't, you know, I mean, now it's amazing. It's like Basilica has great stuff, like Half Moon, like 3 nights a week, basically. And there's like plenty of like little shows. But I mean, you know, this is like Helsinki wasn't open yet. Like, you know, there was like literally no venue regularly doing music that wasn't, you know, like very formal. Like the Opera House will do like great stuff, but it's not, you know, there was just like no local scene, you know. And I mean, there were people playing music, but they just weren't playing anywhere. Like Dan Bunny, I'll give him full props. Dan, who owns like John Doe Books, has probably been doing shows in Hudson, you know, occasionally, very occasionally, since like probably like 10 years ago. So he wins. But, you know, I mean, it would only be, and that was like contingent on whether or not he had a place to like have them at the time, because he was constantly like losing his lease and things and bouncing around town. So, I mean, yeah, it just turned into a thing where people were, so it went from this, like, very, like, sleepy bar that was, like, almost embarrassing that we had beer and, like, you know, we'd go through, like, a keg every month or something, like, to, like, something where people were coming for, like, both events and then, of course, like, regularly. And, like, you know, it was kind of crazy, like, because now, I mean, half the time I'll walk in there on, like, a Thursday night and there's just this entrenched crowd, and, you know, I want to get a beer, and I can't even, like, stay in there, because there's, like, too much, you know, going on. And, I mean, that's not just that place. I mean, it's certainly the place that Hudson is, but there is something particular, like, I think of that as, like, the daytime bar in Hudson, and, like, again, one of the few, I mean, there definitely is, like, this sort of profile, I guess, of, like, somebody who goes in there like any place, but, you know, I have certainly seen a broad demographic, like, you know, in there, and, you know, people have been, like, very regular customers throughout years. Like, I think of this one family who comes up from, like, Jersey, like, and I'm talking, like, extended, like, large family, like, generational, like, you know, boys have, like, come to drinking age slowly over the years, and, like, you know, they all, like, come in every time there's, like, a 3-day weekend or something, and I still see them in town, and they're like, and they would, like, they take credit because they were the first ones who ever, like, went next door to Old Hudson, the cheese shop, and, like, bought, like, you know, hard meats and hard cheeses and cut them up on the bar and handed them out. And then then Old Hudson, like, took their idea and turned it into a cheese plate that the Spotty Dog serves. And so, like, you know, and so they always take credit for it and, like, refuse to, like, participate in that cheese plate. They have to bring their own and, like, you know, dole it out. It's like this slightly subversive act. But, yeah, I mean, and I mean, for me personally, like, you know, I ended up working for one of the owners who's also a graphic designer. And, like, basically, again, this is, like, something that, you know, it was, like, just, like, totally arbitrary. You know, he asked me if his assistant left. He had, like, an assistant for the summer. She was, like, an intern, more or less. And she left, and he was looking for someone to replace her, like, a couple of days a week, basically doing clerical work and answering the phone, and I expressed interest, but with almost, like, no experience whatsoever with anything graphic design-y, but, you know, took that job, and then, like, suddenly was, like, working for him in a much more, like, design-oriented capacity, and now I've, like, basically stole all his skills and, like, you know, now, you know, do that work on my own for money. So that was a very nice, like, benefit from that. But I mean, like, I guess that's the thing. Like, for me, that place has been a very, like, I guess I hit it at, like, a moment where, like, my growth as a person who seeks jobs and, you know, fulfilling things in life kind of, like, met, like, you know, that place is, like, ascent as a local business. And so it's interesting, like, my relationship with it now is as, like, the person who curates the music, which is now not, like, this scrappy thing, but, like, a formalized, like, thing that, you know, there are rules about for new staff to learn, which is, like, mind-blowing to me. But, you know, in the idea that I have, like, a staff position where all I do is, like, do the website and, like, you know, say yes or no to bands is, like, unbelievable. In addition to, like, you know, I mean, that's a very part-time piece of what I do for work at this point in time, but it is kind of, you know, it's a degree of magnitude, you know, in terms of, like, that place as, you know, like, both as a business in a very, like, you know, nuts and bolts kind of way, but as, like, a place that people go and use, you know. It's, yeah, I guess kind of personal and weird in a certain way, too. But in a good way. Yeah.
Can you talk about how it's personal?
I mean, yeah, like, I mean, it's mostly what I said. I mean, I can expand on it, but I mean, it's just, I definitely, you know, yeah, just happened to get a job, which seemed kind of like a very minor thing. Because, you know, while I was working there, I was also working, I was waiting tables at Swoon Kitchen Bar, which is, like, down the street from here, and then, you know, did I do anything else? I think it was just those two jobs, and then managed to also, you know, I eventually went to the local community college and got an associate's degree because I felt guilty. And so I did that. And, you know, so there was this, like, very, like, busy time in my life, and, like, my personal life got crazy during parts of that. But there was just, like, you know, it was like a job and, like, a place that, because there was very little oversight and a lot of trust from the owners, that basically I was allowed to just kind of scale towards my, you know, level of interest, which, you know, and then I managed to squeeze a lot of other skills out of it. I mean, like, right now, my jobs are considerably more, like, serious than that. Like, I work at the radio station, a community radio station, but I'm, like, the outreach coordinator there, which sounds like a meaningless term, but it's, like, you know, there's, like, a lot of, like, you know, I mean, it's just all, like, communications with people and, like, production of events and, you know, graphics for the station and, like, all of our materials. And, you know, these are all skills that definitely came explicitly from, you know, what I was able to learn both at the Spotty Dog and working for Alan. And then also I barely, like, this month I started working at a small press and literary magazine in Albany called Fence, and I mean, like, you know, I can barely even believe I'm doing that, because it just seems like so, I mean, again, it's just, like, connections and work that I've done that started from there, like, being able to parlay that into, like, you know, a position as apparently as a managing editor, and I'm just kind of, like, yeah, a little overwhelmed by that, but I'll figure it out. But, you know, and so, yeah, this all being somehow, like, something I could squeeze out of a job ostensibly bartending and ordering books. I mean, and the other thing, I mean, they, Alan and Kelly, who are the owners, they, I don't know if they were planning to have kids, but they did. And they did, and they have two children now. One is just about 5, I think, and the other one's, like, maybe 3. But, you know, basically, it was, like, 2 years after I started working there, maybe, like, that they had, like, Kelly had that kid, and she was, like, the person who was the day-to-day manager till that point, and then she basically withdrew. I mean, she's come back quite a deal, but, I mean, basically, I don't think they thought they were going to leave as much as they did, but I think that's what happens when you have a child, is that you're suddenly extremely busy. And so that at that point in time, it just very much became like my place for a while, which I don't know if I entirely wanted that. And, you know, there were a couple of other people, like Christina was working there, and then it was mainly her and I, and then, like, this one other person, but, you know, pulling, like, a tremendous amount of weight that I think took us by surprise, but it gave us, like, a tremendous amount of independence, too. And, you know, for me, that was a really good thing. But, you know, I don't know. It's a very weird work life. I feel very scrappy about it. Like, almost like a con artist, maybe. But, you know, I don't know. It's okay. I can't complain.
So, what happened after the spotty dog?
Well, yeah, so I, like about 2 years ago, it's very weird, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago now, I guess, I got really kind of, like, I realized I basically didn't want to do it anymore, the management stuff, because it became so exhausting, and I wanted to keep doing the thing that I'm doing, which is the music booking and things like that. But, you know, I realized that, you know, like, the Achilles heel of that place is that, like, it's a retail job, and it's a small business, and there's no, like, you know, there's no long-term stability there. And I was like, I need to get paid more and not bartend at this job anymore, because that's the thing, I actually, like, very much enjoy bartending, and until 2 weeks ago, I was bartending one night a week, like, at Swoon, which was great, because it was so, like, you know, closed off from everything else. But, yeah, at the Spotty Dog, I was really getting just, like, totally burned out, like somebody does from anything. And so, and at that point in time, I was straddling, I was doing part-time management of the Spotty Dog, and then also working for Alan, you know. And I think that was the real thing that drove me crazy, was that blend, you know. It was like trying to serve, like, two masters, but it was actually just one big horrible mess. And so there was, like, no real boundaries between that job and the other job, and so I always just felt like I was, like, constantly available to, like, all these things there that were no longer of interest to me. Like, I wanted to do things that were fun, like, you know, like, order books and, you know, curate events, and that was it. And the having to deal with interpersonal, like, management issues with, like, retail staff was just, like, I didn't want to do it anymore. So I told Alan that I wanted to work for him full time, and was starting to think about whether or not I actually did want to do that, but it seemed like a good option at the time. So I gave them, like, about 6 months' notice, and then, like, you know, I was like, I'll work to the end of this year, but then you're going to have to figure something else out. And right around when, like, about maybe in November, right before I was supposed to, like, leave, there was a job posting that suddenly came up for the community radio station, WGXC, and I'd long been involved just as a volunteer, like, supporter, excited listener, and, you know, general obsessive, and, you know, they were basically hiring a station manager, and I was, like, totally, like, oh my god, this is, like, an incredible, like, I can't imagine, like, a cooler job, like, being available to me without me having to, like, move or something like that, which I don't want to do. So I, you know, kind of on a lark, applied for it. But the thing is, and the reason I continue to have, like, a weird tapestry of work is because, you know, it doesn't pay very much of anything. Like, it's, like, not a, you know, it is not a living wage, even close to it. And, you know, so there was a great internal debate about, like, you know, like, is this a resurgence of my insane romantic, like, ideas of, like, what I should do with my life? And the answer was yes, but, like, I did get the job, and so I, like, ended up telling Alan that, in fact, you know, the 6 months he had spent planning having a full-time employee work for naught, and that I was, like, actually not going to work for him for full-time. And so, I mean, he was very gracious about it and allowed me to work there, like, you know, enough that I could supplement my income, you know, with WGXC. And so, yeah, I didn't get... So what happened there was... And it actually worked to my benefit because I couldn't have afforded the station manager job because it was full-time and the rate was so little. But it was like they split that position into two. So they did hire a station manager and offered me an outreach coordinator position and, like, basically, yeah, took the amount of time that, like, the station manager would have had and chunked it into two, because I think we probably both said the same thing about, like, not being able to afford to work there full-time, basically. And so, but at that point in time, you know, I said that I would continue to work for them. You know, I would continue to do the booking and the all the random stuff that goes with that. And so I've done that since then. But recently, I've, you know, like I said, I left my position with Alan. And so now I'm just only doing that, you know, and only in my free time. Or, well, you know, I'm getting paid for it, but it's like, you know, I don't, like, have to physically ever be there as an employee, which, again, is, you know, very evolved, like, for that place. Very luxurious for me, so, yeah. Which reminds me, there's a show tonight. I forgot about that. Yeah. So, yeah.
You had mentioned before that you just stopped bartending, mm-hmm. And that's something that you enjoy?
It is. I wouldn't have stopped if, my schedule, because now I have to go to Albany to work with Fence, and which is, you know, actually kind of amazing. Yeah, this is like my first, I've realized I didn't even think about this until I was there, you know, because that the offices for Fence are on the SUNY Albany campus. Which is, like, such a, like, I don't know. I just, like, I feel almost like, an interloper, because I feel like I don't really have, like, I'm very much of a relationship with higher education. And, like, so the fact that I'm, like, you know, I feel like I'm just kind of, like, sneaking past, like, students and faculty alike, like, before they notice me. And they're like, what are you doing here? But, like, yeah, so I worked at Swoon. Like I said, I worked there for... When I was working at the Spotty Dog, that job kind of worked in tandem with that. I worked there a couple of nights a week, and I would actually just wait tables. And again, it's very easy to burn out on high-end table waiting. You know, I was definitely like, you know, I realized I was getting like really like resentful. Like, you know, someone would be like, "Can I have like bottled water?" You know, like, I don't think I let it out, but I just felt, like, so angry, like, at the end of, like, and sad at the end of, like, every, like, because I was working Saturday nights, which Swoon's actually, like, a very lovely restaurant, very, like, relaxed, and just in terms of, like, the sort of Hudson version of, like, you know, of the Hudson, like, fine dining places, if you want to call it that. Like, it's definitely one of the more, like, casual, towny ones, and I you know... It's a very nice group of people who would come in there. That made it all the more psychotic that I was, like, so angry. But, it was just, like, the Saturday nights was, like, kind of when all the tourists and all the, like, you know, the people who are, like, having outings would come in. And, you know, rather than the more casual, like, weekday crowd. And it was just, like, so high-keyed and, like, so not fun and, like, grueling and hot. And I just remember just... like, I can't do this anymore, and, like, quitting there. But, so I quit there, and I didn't work there for, like, three years, I think, and my friend who works there still, she told me that the long-term bartender had, like, quit and gotten fired, and I'd been feeling kind of broke because of working at the radio station. And I was like, you know, I wonder, you know, because I assumed they would replace the full-time bartender with a full-time bartender, and I was like, you know, do you think they'd, like, let me do one day a week? Like, so I kind of conned my way in there onto, like, this, like, Monday night, like, shift, which I loved, because, you know, there was, frankly, there was nobody from, like, the front of the house management there, and so I'd just, like, go in there and be, like, kind of in charge of, like, every element of the place on Monday nights, and Mondays are a very slow night, but, I mean, it was enough to justify the effort, and I really like bartending. I like, and not even necessarily the sort of, like, so tell me about your day part, but just, like, the sort of, like, creation of, like, a mood and, like, you know, the actual labor of, like, making drinks and things like that, and, you know, the sort of, like, setup and takedown of, like, this whole, like, environment where people come and, like, eat and drink, and, yeah, I mean, it was a very cozy little place, and, yeah, I just, yeah, I would totally keep doing it, like, in perpetuity if I had the time, but, you know, that's another thing I think I'm learning how to do in my life, is not take every job that I possibly can all at the same time, which is something I've definitely had a tendency to do, but, yeah, I don't know, what was I talking about, like, just the idea of leaving Swoon, yeah, and that's the other thing, I do love, like, just restaurants and the work of restaurants, and like a lot of my best friends over time have been chefs and like bartenders, and actually a good friend of mine is staying at my house so he can work at Swoon tonight. I just God, keep remembering a lot of things, but yeah, and I don't know, I kind of like having like kind of one foot in the service door, just because I think it's, I don't know, like, keep you humble, but, like, no, I mean, I like the way, I just like the pace of it, and, like, the camaraderie, I guess, because, yeah, there's really, I've never experienced that kind of, like, bond that you get with people that you work with, like, you do in, like, really, like, you know, high-intensity, like, food service environments. It's, like, really serious, and I like it. It's very familial, it's very friendly, it's very, like, you know, people really go out of the way to, like, support each other, and, like, you know, whereas in a lot of, like, more, like, sterile jobs, you know, if you're, like, feeling real stressed or sad, it's kind of, like, it just has to stay, like, outside of that, and, like, you know, because it is, like, really high intensity, you know, people are very accommodating, you know, to your moods, and, like, will maybe, like, help you out if you, like, need the pressure taken off either by, like, leaving or, like, doing something, which is not to say you get to leave early, but, you know, it's definitely, I've always appreciated that, or have since, you know, I started working in restaurants, which is funny, because I was always cautioned, like, my mother has this, like, disproportionate, like, I don't know, just contempt for, like, kind of, basically, like, her concept of, like, the lowest job in the world was waiting tables, you know, as a kid, I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, like, noted, I'll never do that, and then I was, like, you know, I was, like, very, felt scandalized when I was, like, I'm gonna try this, but I don't know what's gonna happen, you know, like, is it really that bad, and I was, like, wait, no, she's crazy, like, you know, it was just, like, one of the insane things that she believed that was completely not based in any, like, reality that I could figure out, so, I don't know, but, yeah, so I very defiantly waited tables for a while, felt good, but, yeah.
Well, I want to make sure that I don't keep you here too long, so we have about 20 minutes. I want to ask you about the future. Mm-hmm. And what do you see for the future?
Of me or Hudson or the world?
whatever you want.
Well, that's a really interesting question, because I don't think about the future that often, like, as a concrete possibility. I tend to, again, I think this is a, like, romantic, like, existentialist inflection that I've never quite been able to reconcile with, like, things like, you know, I'm very bad at, like, things like budgeting and, you know, planning. Like, right now I'm wrestling hard with, like, whether or not I'm supposed to be fixing my car or buying a different car, and that seems like a very serious, and I just feel like I should know the answer to it already, you know, I've been thinking about it for, like, 3 weeks, that seems like a long time to think about a car, but if for the future, I mean, I'm at a very, like, strange little moment right now, personally, because I feel that, you know, I felt this, like, maybe once before. I feel like I've fallen into or worked my way into, maybe I should give myself some credit, like, a job situation that's, like, feels extremely promising and exciting to me. I mean, I don't know what it means, and I'm feeling, like, kind of almost, like, frozen at this moment right now because, I mean, you know, this position at Fence, I don't know, I mean, I've always been interested and curious about and, like, felt strongly about wanting to work as, you know, in writing or, like, as a writer, but, you know, I've struggled with that because I don't know, I still don't know what I want to write, or just, like, with writing or books or anything, and so, like, I'm at a moment where I'm like, huh, like, I'm actually doing exactly that, like, and I couldn't be more, like, you know, more truly that than this, basically. So I think my thought right now is that I just have to do this for a little while and see where that goes, because I may have gotten to a place I want to be at, and I mean, I guess I think a lot about work and not so much personal relationships in terms of the future, because I think, you know, I think I've always had this, and again, like, this idea that I don't have to worry too much about personal relationships because they come and they go, and though there's sometimes sad parts, like, I've always been, like, largely satisfied by the people around me and the relationships I have with them. Which, again, this might, that, again, feels, like, kind of, like, naive to me when I say it aloud. Because it feels like, well, like, one day I won't be so lucky and I'll be, like, alone somewhere and very sad. But, you know, and then again, you know, I don't know. I do feel that it's important that I do, like, try to travel around more. I think that's, like, what everyone thinks. I do think I'm in a position now where that might be more financially possible. Like, that's always been the only thing I've really ever felt limited by is just being perpetually broke. But I think I'm in a position to actually change that, finally, without having to do terrible things I don't feel like doing, like incessantly working, which is kind of not part of what I would like to do. So, I don't know. The future of, I don't know, curious about the future of the city, I mean, in the whole region, I mean, specifically Hudson, you know, certainly a concern of mine. I mean, I do kind of, you know, notwithstanding anything that happens here, like, do want to live a little farther outside the city, maybe, like, you know, just somewhere where I, you know, like, I could have a yard, but, you know, something like that, but I certainly, you know, I'm in an apartment right now that I split with a roommate, and it's very spacious, and he's never ever there, and he's, you know, he's, like, older than me, and, like, very, like, he works a lot, and it's wonderful, you know, it's, like, a very, like, clean, you know, uninteractive roommate situation, but, I mean, he could certainly, like, you know, do something like marry his girlfriend or something like that, and then I would have to, like, think long and hard about whether or not I wanted to, like, cough up the money to live there alone or, like, find another roommate, and I can't imagine a situation that would be that good or, like, get some, you know, so I think I do wonder if, you know, the city has become more expensive to live in, if it's worth it to me to stay here because of that, you know, because I'd just as soon have more space and a cheaper place to live. But I absolutely love, like I said, the human scale, like being able to walk everywhere and, like, you know, but also have it not be, yeah, like, I wouldn't want to live in, like, Albany, which is another place you can walk everywhere. It's kind of terrible there. And, you know, I do wonder if, yeah, if the city will continue to develop in the way that it has, in a way that means, you know, if it's just going to continue to bring new people in, and it's this cycle, and it's going to get bigger and more expensive and eventually resemble something, you know, like Hampton's Inn, or, like, you know, that's always, like, what people are saying. to be, like, concerned about, and I certainly can see how that would happen. Or if, you know, there's more of a, like, a positive outcome, but it doesn't feel like, you know, that like, we're a positive outcome being defined as something where, like, everybody benefits and, like, suddenly, you know, we, like, figure out how to have, like, affordable housing for, like, people while also, like, you know, bringing cool and dynamic cultural stuff and, you know, fixing the absolutely atrocious, like, local education system and, like, you know, stop, like, totally marginalizing, like, everybody who's not, like, either, you know, connected through this, like, insane good old boy network or, like, coming here with, like, massive wealth, basically. And I don't see that happening necessarily, unfortunately. I hope. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what my future is here at all. But I do, you know, I guess the short term, I'll be here for at least a few more years. Which is, yeah. I guess that's true. I think. Unless something really crazy happens. But that's the thing, I do, you know, I don't regret being here at all, because I do, I mean, I spend a lot of my time when I'm not, you know, literally at work or otherwise obligated to physically be here, like, you know, like, either in the Catskills or, like, you know, other places around here, and, you know, there are so many places accessible to, like, spend time outside, which is, like, weird priority of mine that, like, I don't see myself needing to move. Like, that really fills, like, in a kind of, like, a cheap, easy way, like, the need to travel, you know, the sort of, like, infinite space contained within places you can walk at. So, I don't know. Yeah. I guess I should work on the future. Would be a good idea. Yeah.
And would you like to name anybody else that we should interview for the project?
Well, I'd love to. What kind of, I guess, is there a kind of person you're looking for? Let me think. This is really interesting. I think of, like, who I see all the time that I like to talk to. Well, I talked to my friend Tom DiPietro, who I was with just coming over here. But if you haven't already gotten him, he's somebody who loves Hudson, which is a recent transplant. But his relationship with the city is very interesting, because he claims it's cured his xenophobia. So I don't know if there's, like, any, like, independent confirmation on that, but, like, I don't know. I'm sure, let's see. I could talk to Lynn, who I work with at the radio station. She's interesting. Lynn Sloniker. Thinking of who I see every day. Kelly, who owns a Spotty Dog, is interesting. She grew up here and then went away and came back and opened a business. Her mother is really actually wonderful too. She's older, and her husband, like Kelly's dad, used to work at the cement factory, and, you know, she was a teacher. I think she was a teacher at, I think, in Germantown. So, you know, but they're, it's a good family. Kelly Drahushik, her mother's a, what is her mom's name? Linda Drahushik, and they're all part of the Evans clan, which is a pretty notorious, or not notorious, but, you know, regarded family, you know, former mayors and things like that, and firemen, and, yeah, that's the thing, there's so much history here. And then, who else? My roommate's actually a pretty interesting guy who knows a lot about Hudson, and just, he's actually a veteran, Ken Hollenbeck is his name, but he works in the mental health place, and he's really has had an interesting series of life experiences. His daughter is, like, just a couple of years younger than me, which is weird, but, like, for a roommate, that's good, it works out. So, yeah. Well, I don't know. I'll email if you think of anybody else, though, Or if you want to know about anybody, just feel free to ask. Yeah. Or John. You should talk to John McCulloch. He just opened the Half Moon, but he and his wife, he's from Scotland, and he opened a pub here, and it's sort of like very quickly has become like a fixture. He's like, you know, has like a little 2-year-old baby. Like, you know, it's interesting kind of like person to wash up on these shores. It's good. Yeah, if you need to contact anyone, let me know. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Yeah, thank you.